The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to this Friday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. Hello, Maverick. Glad you can be with us. We've got a jam-packed broadcast for you this afternoon. It's very busy news afternoon as well, so no time to waste. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead. Breaking news.
Well, it is official. We are in a bear market now in Joe Biden's America. The stock market down 670 points right now. Market's going to close in 53 minutes, so it's well below 30,000. It's at its lowest Dow in more than 2 years. So all the gains that had been realized over the last couple of years have vaporized because of very predictable series of events. Joe Biden and his Democrats have been spending wildly, including the $600 billion, to pay off student loans, loans that these individuals committed to repay themselves. And now Joe Biden said, no, we're trying to buy the youth vote to save the midterms. And so they just keep spending and spending and spending. And when both Donald Trump and Joe Biden kept dropping these COVID stimulus checks into our world, there were a lot of people making six figures who were getting $1,000, $2,000 from the government. It was totally wasteful. And when you start dumping that much money into an economy, as people spend it and as demand outstrips supply, especially when Joe Biden just destroyed the supply chain as soon as he came into office, when all those things happen, then you have 8.5% inflation, which is one of the most insidious taxes imaginable. Everybody's losing money. Even if you don't have anything saved, everybody's losing money because of inflation. Even if you've gotten a 5% pay hike, you're still losing money because inflation outstrips the average pay raises in America. Now, I've said often that when I am done with this radio show, and I don't have any plans to be done at this point, whether that's in, you know, next week, that wouldn't be my choice. But you never know in this biz. Or 2 years from now or 7 years from now. I'm thinking 7 to 10 years. I don't know. I love it. I'm very blessed. I know what I'm going to do in the next chapter of my life. And I've talked about this often. I want to work with kids and their parents about how to be economically self-sufficient. Because I was digging through some stats so I could present all of this to you this afternoon. Just this morning, I was digging up some stats, and it's far more bleak than I could have possibly imagined in Americans' economic situation right now. 61% of Americans now say they are living paycheck to paycheck. That if there's anything that is a surprise, they simply are not going to be able to handle it. And that's because 50% of Americans have no savings. They are, in fact, in debt. A lot of people, especially with the inflation the last couple of years, a lot of people are putting their routine monthly bills that you try to pay off every single month. A lot of people are putting those on credit cards. And then if you don't pay off your credit card every month, all of a sudden you're looking at 13 to 16% interest on your credit cards. And so you're just falling deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. The number of uninsured Americans has hit a new high. So many people don't have health coverage because they can't afford it. And as I said, credit card debt has had its biggest surge in 20 years. Now, I'm very passionate about this because I believe in taking care of your own life, and I believe in self-sufficiency and not having to rely on the benevolence of politicians who just use us as pawns so that they can amass more power. And I wish I knew when I was 20 years old what I have learned with a lot of study over the last 20 years. I wish that I'd started putting 10% of every paycheck into long-term investments, you know, like a stock index fund. Wish I'd started doing that 40 years ago. But I've worked really hard. My wife and I have worked really hard with our daughters to pay yourself first. You know, no matter what fun you want to have, what trips you want to take, what restaurants you want to go out to, make sure you put something aside for your future first. Because then when you're, you know, you can be by the age of 45, you can be ready to retire if you start when you're first start working in your 20s. And you may not want to, but I mean, you could get by with that. And the fact that so few Americans know this and so few kids, because our schools are teaching kids to hate each other based on their skin color more than they're talking about issues like this, about how to be self-sufficient, because the government schools are the government. And the government does not want us to be self-sufficient, or most people. Mostly Democrats don't want that, because the people who are not self-sufficient tend to vote Democrat because socialist policies, take it from him, give it to me. And so this is where we are right now. But and I will tell you, my anger at what's happening with the stock market is not personal, because, and I mentioned this at the time, a year and a half ago, my wife and I have worked hard. We've saved hard. We've invested hard our whole lives. We're not in anywhere near being wealthy, but we can be self-sufficient after working 2-3 jobs for 40 years. But when Joe Biden became president, we started moving almost everything we've saved and invested over the years out of the stock market. And because I thought the stock market was at, you know, historic high levels, and I thought there was much more downside risk than upside, and the market's off 20% now. That's the definition of a bear market. It's off 20% off of its highs. So if, you know, you were feeling really good when it was hitting the highs, and let's say you've worked and scrimped and saved and invested your whole life, and you had $1 million put away from that peak, and you should never measure anything from the peak because there's always ups and downs. But from that peak, if you had $1 million at the peak, you've lost $200,000. And that's what Joe Biden and the Democrats have done to America. They've made Americans poorer. 58% of Americans have either a 401k or an IRA through their work or personal investment. 58%. And they've seen this 20% hit from where it was just a year and a half ago. And so you combine that with 40-year high inflation. And I fear what's coming economically in our nation and in our world, because where we are right now is precarious at best. And as I said, this ain't personal, but I feel so deeply for people who have made all the right decisions and then they see it all get wiped out because of what politicians buying votes. And the effects of that, it's very, very sad. And so we've got to make some decisions about, because I fear that a lot of people who voted for Joe Biden and for a Democrat Congress, I fear they like this. I really mean it. Because socialism has gone from a fringe element to pretty mainstream. Certainly, you know, members of Congress from our state, from our region, are, you know, pretty openly socialist. Lots of city council members are. And the Green New Deal, the Squad, they're all socialists. They like this. They like seeing, because people who lose the most are the people who have the most. And they're just a bunch of dirty, stinking fat cat greedy people. So if it means wiping out their core constituency, you know, the working class people, but if they can take down the filthy rich in the process, well, then it's all worth it. So we're in some really precarious times in America. Okay, 43 minutes now until the market closes. So we're going to keep an eye on this, but it's been hovering right around, right now it's down 600 points for the day. So off 2% just today alone. So we have to decide as individuals and as a nation, do we want this collectivity, which is the mantra that's being taught to our kids in school, which is the mantra of the left, or do you want individuality? And if you want individuality, which means you have a chance of freedom and self-sufficiency and sovereignty over your own life, then we better make some major changes, both in our state and across the country, because this is headed for some collapse here, I fear. And that's what I want to do in the next part of my life. If I can start working with kids and their parents and just set up patterns of investing in your future and, you know, show them what it's going to mean for them and how quickly they'll be able to get free. And I said that on day one of this radio show, 27 and a half years ago. That I believe the greatest struggle in America and one of the great focuses of my radio show is that government and corporations want to control our lives. And man, I believe that now more than ever. And it's going to stay a core foundational element of this show. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
And that is because I saw a tweet this morning from the Washington State Department of Transportation. Now, in this tweet, you may have heard in our newscast that they're starting to shut down I-90 and it's going to be closed most of the weekend. And as I mentioned a few days ago, why in the world? There are only two weekends this fall and into December. There are only two weekends where both the Huskies and the Seahawks have home games. And guess what? This is one of the weekends when I-90 is going to be shut down. Why in the world would the State Department of Transportation choose to close I-90 on a weekend when 50, 60, 70,000 people are going to not once but twice be going to Husky and Seahawks games? Because if you come from the east side, you're going to just gridlock 405 going around the south end of the lake. Or, hey, you get to pay a toll and take 520. If you're coming from the north and the south, I-5 is going to be more gridlocked. They're shutting the express lanes on I-5. So the DOT, they sent out this indignant tweet this morning. No, we are not scheduling road work during your favorite band show or favorite team's game to get some sick thrill. We like music and sports ball, too. Sports ball? We like music and sports ball, too. We just have a lot of work to do in a limited amount of time. I don't buy that for one second. And I'll tell you why. A few weeks ago, do you remember when they announced that all transit, buses, trains, ferries were going to be free for kids? Everyone under 18, it's free, meaning everybody else gets to pay for it. Well, why is that? Well, they even admit it. I don't know if they intended to admit it, but they said, okay, well, if we can take money from all the taxpayers and give the kids what the kids think is free transit from the King County Council, here's Rod Dembowski.
As we all know, it goes beyond just the instant relief of having to not pay the fare and the increased convenience, but it helps policies like this build lifetime transit riders, mm-hmm. transit users.
Oh, lifetime transit users. And, of course, in the next few years, Sound Transit is going to ask for another $40 billion so that they can finish what they've started, the most criminally corrupt public agency in the history of the United States of America. And here's a politician, Rob Dembowski, admitting that they were doing this for the children because they wanted to make the kids ride forever, meaning it's a way to buy their votes when we put these massive $40 billion transit measures. And Christina Walker with Sound Transit, she said the same thing.
There is no better way to ensure support and participation in public transportation than to start with our youth. So this is just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for now, and it's a wonderful opportunity that will continue to yield results for decades to come.
Yield results for decades to come because they will vote for massive tax hikes. So if government is admitting that that's the reason for the free buses and ferries and trains, I guarantee you that Washington State Department of Transportation is in on this scam and that they're all colluding. So if they can make people miserable, hey, let's make them take a bus to the Husky game. Let's make them sit in gridlock before the Seahawk game. And then they'll vote. They'll be much more likely to vote for $40 billion in Sound Transit taxes when we put that on the ballot in a couple of years. You better believe, no matter what they're trying to tell us, that state DOT and Sound Transit and local politicians are all colluding to make life as miserable as possible so that they can get massive tax hikes. They even are admitting it in those sound bites I just played. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, we're just getting rolling on this Friday afternoon. Seattle teachers just got a massive pay hike after striking for several days. Just one little teeny tiny problem. There's no money to pay for that pay hike. So guess where it's going to come from? You guessed it. You. Details straight ahead here in the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've been discussing for several weeks now, Washington was the only state out of 50, as of a couple of weeks ago, that had school districts on strike. After 2 years of pretty much a complete shutdown of our schools, five districts in this area were on strike. Seattle school teachers settled a few days ago. But what does this mean for the taxpayers? Lee Finnan does a fantastic job covering education at WashingtonPolicy.org. She joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Good afternoon, Lee. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks so much, Dory. Great to be on with you again.
So this new 3-year contract with the teachers, it adds $228 million to the budget. And as you went over the numbers, the budget for Seattle is already just shockingly high. First of all, talk about the number of employees and how many of those employees are teachers.
Yes. So the Seattle Public Schools employs a total of 7,000 employees, yet only half of them, 3,300, less than half of them, 47% are actually classroom teachers. So that tells you that the Seattle Public School Administration is bloated and top heavy right there.
Well, and what we always hear, Leif, is that they need more tax dollars to reduce class size. But it seems to me that if they reallocated their resources more into teachers and less into administrative bloat, then maybe they could reduce class sizes with the amount of cash we're already giving them.
They most certainly could reduce class sizes within the current funding that they have. Now, remember now that we have that Seattle Public Schools is spending $22,000 per student. That's an 50% increase since 2016, just 5 years ago. Okay, it's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We were spending $14,000 per student. Now it's $22,000 per student. And a lot of this money is being diverted to the central district offices and programs that don't help students learn better. There's no doubt about it.
We're always told that they need more money so the kids can get a better education. So we have given them a massive amount of new money. And yet, judging by the state's test results, the students are doing worse and worse the more money we give them.
Yes, the state test results are plummeting. for the black students in Seattle Public Schools, the schools failed to educate 82% of black students in math and 71% of them in English. Scores are also down for white students. And notice that the student enrollment in Seattle Public Schools has also dropped by 7.5%. Families are leaving because of what they're experiencing in the Seattle Public Schools.
Well, but this is by design. I mean, the school district's chief diversity officer, isn't she on record as saying that she doesn't really care if the kids do better on these tests and if they do better educationally? Isn't the only mission of some of these ridiculous spending programs like chief diversity officers, isn't her only job to perpetuate her job and not to educate the kids?
Well, it is shocking to have the leadership of the Seattle Public Schools say that their top priority is to serve those furthest from educational equity. I mean, it's their top priority should be to serve each and every one of the students in Seattle Public Schools, regardless of their race. I mean, this is but besides that, they are no longer stewarding and protecting the public purse. We pay these administrators over $300,000 a year, between $200,000 and $300,000 a year, to live within their means. But they have given that one up. They are not living within their means. They know that in 4 months, there will be a new session of the state legislature. They'll run down to Olympia and claim that they don't have enough money, even though they've had a huge increase in funding.
Yeah, well, let's really focus in on that, because they have allocated, with this new settling of the strike contract, $228 million. This is money they do not have. And you were just starting to go down this trail, but this is the dirty little secret of all these teacher strikes. So the district gives the teachers money they don't have, and then what's the strategy to backfill that?
The strategy is to run down to Olympia and say, we are underfunded. We have to cut student programs unless you give us more money. And they have done this in the past successfully. That is their strategy. And so it's corrupt. Let's just say that. This is a corrupt system. They're going after the taxpayer. It's all very nice for them. They figured out a way to have very bloated budgets and high pay while the taxpayer gets left holding the bag.
Well, and the reason it is so corrupt is because Jay Inslee, whether he's going to run for a fourth term or if he wants to launch another ridiculous bid for the presidency, Bob Fergie Ferguson, he wants to be the next governor if Jay Inslee leaves. And those guys know that they need the teachers' union to be the foundation of their support for their political aspirations. So there is zero chance that these public officials will ever stand up to the teachers' unions, right? I mean, they will just sell out the taxpayers so that they can keep getting a political advantage.
Yes, it's all very dismaying and discouraging, because it's all about self-interest and not about the needs of children to get educated and to prepare them for the future. So to have this in the heart of our education system is very, very bad, because we need to educate our children to high standards to compete in the world ahead. We deserve, that is, should be our topmost priority, not our last, as it's playing out to be.
It's so amazing to me. I still haven't quite figured this out, that we see what's happening with the test scores. We see what's happening with the enrollment. The Seattle schools have lost 7,500 students who have just left the district, not physically. They've left the school district schools because the schools were doing such a lousy job. And yet we have so many brainwashed people around here who just mindlessly say that we support the teachers. Yes, they are underpaid. They need to be given more. And almost everybody in the media plays that card, because the media is just carrying the water for the Democratic Party. And it's very hard to get the truth and the statistics and the numbers and the actual performance, how we're doing for the kids, which is what they all claim to be all about. It's really hard for people like me to get that message through.
Yes. And so it's worth saying that the average teacher salary in Seattle is $95,000 a year, plus $33,000 in benefits, a package worth $130,000, okay? That's a 15% increase since 2018, just a few years ago. And now this new contract gives teachers an additional 14% increase over the next 3 years. So While the teachers go on strike, they keep the schools closed, they do not educate children to the standards set by the state, they get paid more and more money, basically a blank check given to them because we have had 30 years of one party rule in this state. That is the result.
So the Seattle teachers, after this 14% raise goes through, their pay and benefits package will be $140,000 on average for working 80% of the year. Their time off compared to the average worker's time off. And that's the message that I want to keep stressing, is that $140,000 total package salary and benefits, that's not bad. When you get 2 months off in the summer and 2 weeks at Christmas and a week in February and a week in April and every holiday imaginable, they're not underpaid. They're fantastic teachers who deserve every penny they get. But as a group, they're simply not underpaid. And very few people have the guts to even say that.
No, it's true. They are not underpaid. They are represented by a union that puts the union interests first and not the needs of the students. And you would think that teachers would resign from a union. They have, that acts in this way. They have, of course, in constitutional rights not to have to be forced to join the union. What I have seen in watching this is that the union grows and grows and grows because it pushes programs to increase the number of employees in the public schools, and they all become members of the union. So this is just a one-way street. The union gets more and more powerful, elects Democratic legislators to represent its interests in the state legislature, and they all turn around and increase taxes. So this is what you get.
It's a one-way street for all of them, and it's a dead end for the taxpayers. See what I did there, Leave? See how I pulled it all together?
And the children.
It's for the children. All right, Lee Finish, she's got a great blog post up about this right now. She's the director of the Center for Education at WashingtonPolicy.org. Lee, it's always great to talk with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Dory.
Okay, all my best. Lee Finney, go check out her work. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO. 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Song you thought I asked for?
Sorry, no, I have the song here. Hang on.
That's not like you, Andrew. Is everything okay?
Maybe.
We have a new board, a new whole system. Everything
it's
is so screwed
Andrew
up here.
Crazy. I know. Andrew's. This is what I love about Andrew.
Plus, I was talking to him. That's probably my fault.
There we go. All right, I got a basketball Jones, you know that. The coach of the Boston Celtics, he was also Jonesing for something else. So the Celtics announced that their head coach, Ime Udoka, has been suspended for the entire NBA season coming up because he had an intimate relationship with a female staffer for the Celtics. A couple things about this guy. First of all, Ime Udoka is a great coach. Last year was his first year as a head coach, and he took the Celtics all the way to the NBA Finals. And he worked his butt off to get this. He's 45 years old now. He played in the NBA in the early 2000s. Then he started taking assistant coach jobs because he wanted to climb the ladder. He started with the Spurs, the 76ers, the Brooklyn Nets, and then Boston. And then Boston makes him the head coach, and he goes to the NBA Finals his first year. He also is married to actress, not married, engaged to actress Nia Long. They have a 10-year-old son together. They've been engaged since 2015. 7-year engagement? Dude, commit. Come on. But Neil Long, well, beautiful woman.
The rest of the story might explain why.
Well, yes, exactly. So, as I say, he's been suspended for an intimate relationship with a female staffer. And almost every organization has rules. Many prohibit just relationship even between people at the same level in an organization. But when you're pretty much the most powerful person in an organization, as a head coach is, and it's a, you know, far down the corporate ladder female subordinate, you can't do that. It's just not allowed. So he's been suspended. And some people are very upset about this. Stephen A. Smith on ESPN was just very upset because he seems to think this is racist.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and the rest of the crew deserve their coach unless he's not your coach. But if he's going to be your coach, why should he be suspended for the year? Why? It's wrong. It shouldn't have happened. We understand all of that. You fire him or you keep him.
Yeah.
You don't suspend him like he's some petulant child. You keep him out of school and put him in detention or something. He made a decision as an adult with the woman who works in the organization who is also an adult.
Right.
They had a consensual relationship.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not allowed, these relationships, because it's a power over subordinate thing. But then, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but then listen where he goes with this round.
Because I got news for you, America. There's plenty of white folks in professional sports that's doing their thing. And I say that not complimentary. I don't see the information out about them. Why are we talking about this now? We got to talk about it because it's the news. Ain't none of our damn business unless you fire him. But if you keep him, it's none of our business.
Wait, no. They may not fire him. Maybe they'll give him his job back a year from now after a one-year suspension. But what does he mean there are plenty of white folks doing their thing? It doesn't get to, unless you have some examples that the black guy gets punished for this. But look, the white owner of the Phoenix Suns not only has been suspended for a year, he's been ordered that he must sell his team because he used language that created a toxic atmosphere. Not everything's about race. Unless you're Stephen A. Smith, then everything is. Okay, quick timeout, check the news, and then Fastest 15 is coming up next.